Krishna. So this evening, we're going to read a verse in Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, text number 13, about a very, very important principle in devotional life, that is taking prasadam. Actually, taking prasadam, mahaprasadam, is a very, very deep tattva in Krishna consciousness. Very deep, very, very deep truth is there when we talk about taking mahaprasadam. And in these plays that the young boys just did, they actually revealed by their short skit some of the real glories of mahaprasad, taking mahaprasad. It's said that each of the dhams that we are most familiar with, Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham, each dham is marked with one specific special characteristic. And we saw that in the short play that they did today. All these things are in the category of mahaprasadam. When they talked about Jagannath Das Babaji, and he was wanting to roll in the dust of Vrindavan, Brajaraj, dust of Vrindavan, is a special feature of Sri Vrindavan Dham. In Mayapur, it's kirtan, sweetly chanting the holy name of the Lord. And in Jagannath Puri, it's prasadam. We know that Jagannath Dev is offered, is it 53 or 58 offerings every day? Anybody know? 54? 56? He eats a lot of times every day. So Mahaprasad is very, very integral to both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and Jagannath Puri in general. So we want to speak a little bit about Mahaprasadam, its glories, and its importance in a very, very esoteric way, as was displayed by the young boys in their play today. So we start with the 13th text of the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We can just chant it together, and then I'll read the translations in purport. Yagya sista sina santo mucchante sarvakil vishai pujate te trapa papa ye panchatma karanat. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Purport. The devotees of the Supreme Lord, or the persons who are in Krishna consciousness, are called santas, and they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochinena Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Velokayanti. The santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajñas in different modes of devotional service, such as shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, etc. And these performances of yajñas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not happy if he is both Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves, but also eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtana Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world. Om Gyan Tamarandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Practically, we see if we study the world and various religious traditions around us that the very first principle of a godly or religious life has to do with thanking God, thanking the Lord for food. I mean, practically speaking, you go anywhere. They say grace, they make some kind of acknowledgement that it is by the mercy of God that we're able to eat. This is particularly true in religions and cultures where the predominant view of God is of like the Father. We all know we have experience in our daily lives. The Father, he's the one that puts food on the table. So this idea that God's the Father, he's the provider, is very prominent in religions we see around the world. And so it's only human decency to recognize that we're dependent upon God and that we offer some acknowledgement of that by prayer. By prayer, by some kind of sacrifice. So this is the first realization of the glory of Mahaprasad, that it's actually a gift of God to us all. Now, it may be a very rudimentary or basic understanding, but still, that understanding is there. And it's the result of piety. If someone is pious, they will have this kind of view of God and their dependence on God and their being supplied their necessities by God. We kind of do that also. We have a couple of prayers here that we sing before we take prasadam. And if we analyze them, we see that this very rudimentary idea of approaching God to be relieved from hunger or suffering in this world is very much part of our tradition also. And it comes out of a piety. It comes out of piety. There's one prasadam prayer that we sing that comes from the Mahabharata. You can sing along if you recognize it. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swapapunyavatam Rajan Vishvaso Navajayate. O King, for those who have amassed few pious activities, their faith in Mahaprasadam, in Sri Govinda, in the Holy Name, and the Vaishnavas is never born. So if someone's not pious, if they haven't amassed any kind of piety, then they won't have faith in Mahaprasadam, in the Supreme Lord, in the Lord's holy name. It never occurs to them. It never strikes a chord in their heart. So piety must be there. And what do we mean by piety? Well, that is basically understanding our dependence on the Supreme Lord. Understanding that we've gotten ourselves into a big mess in this material world, and if we want to get out, the Supreme Lord is there to help us. And because we have piety, I say we, I mean the devotees of the Lord, because we have this piety, we recognize the superiority of the Supreme Lord, therefore we sing this other prayer to prasadam to try to help us get free from the situations which are described in this song. So again, sing along if you know the words. Sariya vidya jal jyotindriya taika jive bile vishaya sagare tarama jivayati logamaya sudurmati take chitha kathina samsare krishna gora doyamai karibare jivaja swapasarana dilobai senam riktabau rara krishna gunagau Pramedako Chaitanyanitai. O brothers, this material body is a network of ignorance, and the senses are one's deadly enemies. For they throw the soul into the ocean of material sense enjoyment. Among the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and verily wicked. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. Oh, brothers, Lord Krishna is very merciful. Just to control the tongue, he has given us the remnants of his own food. Now please eat these nectarian grains while singing the glories of their lordship, Shri Radha and Krishna. And in love, call out, Chaitanya Nitai! Thank you. Then, okay, so we may, out of piety, recognize and depend on the Supreme Lord and accept his prasad in that way. But if our motivation remains just what this second prayer says, then we actually have a lot of ground to cover in the subject of Mahaprasad. Because this prayer focuses on our material condition. And certainly, we want relief from this material condition, and we approach prasad of the Lord as part of that. But there's much more to Mahaprasad than just engaging our senses and taking us away from the most basic sinful activity, which is described in the verse from Bhagavad Gita we read, verily eating only sin. There's more that we can do than just be pious or just ask the Lord to save us. We can engage in the spiritual activity of taking prasad. That spiritual activity actually involves giving up eating. A devotee wants to give up eating altogether. Now, what do I mean by give up eating altogether? I thought this was the kitchen religion. How are we giving up eating altogether? Can anybody say? I'm not saying, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. I'll read to you what he says, but what did I hear? Honor prasadam, yes, yes, it's true.
Eating just for your sense pleasure.
You want to go beyond that, right?
Right.
All right. Okay, yes. Right, very good. Yes, you're correct. Let me read you what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in this regard. The food that has been offered by sadhus to the Lord is categorically different from ordinary food. To take ordinary food is harmful for the soul. Kind of like the verse we read here, eating, verily eating sin. So he says, to take ordinary food is harmful for the soul. By honoring Mahaprasad, not only is the soul saved from the bad effects of eating, but it is also positively benefited by obtaining the inclination for spiritual service. The Shastras therefore tell us to give up eating and honor Mahaprasad. So there's a fundamental difference here, although the activities look the same. They may look the same externally, but there's a fundamental difference. When we engage in this practice of sacrifice, again, the verse in Bhagavad Gita tells us that if we eat food which is first offered for sacrifice, then there's no sin. There's no bad reaction to that. But if it's not offered in sacrifice, then all of the sinful activity that went into producing that food is imbibed by us. Is this a foreign concept to you? I think maybe not amongst the devotees, that there are sinful reactions, there are karmic reactions involved in receiving, whether it's whatever it is, money, food, if there are sinful activities that have gone into producing that, we take the substance along with the subtle karmic effects. Is that something we can all wrap our heads around? So if we eat food which is not first offered for sacrifice, then verily we're eating only sins. That means we got to take the reactions for everything that's done in that regard. Devotees often describe about how there are six conspirators when it comes to meat, and they involve the person that raises, slaughters, sells, transports, cooks, serves, all these persons involved in the chain of putting that meat on your plate are implicated in the murder of innocent animals. Somebody's got to pay. And if you partake in any part of it along the way, then you have to get your share. This is what it means, verily eats only sin. So how do we get free from that? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying, stop eating, give it up, finished. Take Mahaprasad. Because when one takes Mahaprasad, then there's no reaction, there's no chain of events that's coming, other than the chain pulling you back home, back to Godhead. There's no chain pulling you down in this material world. There is a chain, though, and that's taking you back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, give up eating altogether. Take Mahaprasad. But what spirit do we need to take Mahaprasad in? Because that also influences us to a great deal. What is our consciousness? What is the mode of our activity when we're taking prasad? The young lady in the back here said, honor Mahaprasad. What does this mean, honor, as opposed to just scarfing it down? Well, Srila Prabhupada also has something to say in this regard, so let me share that with you. He says that prasad should be taken with the faith that it is not material. It cannot be materially infected. It is called prasad seva, not prasad enjoyment. Prasad seva. Again, to the boys playing Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj. There was a complaint, the dog is eating from the same plate, the prasad's contaminated. No! Gaur Kishor Das Babaji pointed out, no, it's not. It's never contaminated. It's never contaminated. It's completely spiritualized. And when we approach anything in the spiritual world, in what spirit do we approach it? Do we want to go and, you know, have a good time with Krishna and the gopis or the cowherd boys? Is that our motivation? No, we approach humbly, submissively, with an attitude of service. So the more we take prasad in that same way, prasad is seva, service, the more potent the Mahaprasad will be in terms of acting on our consciousness. So it's important how we do this activity. Now, we think of prasad seva. Prasad seva, serving prasadam, is very important, especially amongst the Vaishnava. If we get the opportunity to serve prasadam, We should relish that, because it's in the mood of how we should approach the Mahaprasad of the Lord anyway, as service. and giving that that prasad to others. There's a rather lengthy pastime that's described in the Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur about how prasadam distribution became a fact in this universe. There was a particular point in time when Narada Muni, he had to wait 12 years to get a little bit of prasad from Mahavishnu. He was serving for 12 years and he got a little bit only because Lakshmi Devi broke her promise to Lord Narayan that she would distribute any of his prasadam. Lord Narayan told Lakshmi, don't give anyone the remnants of my food. But Narada Muni was very keen to get it. So for 12 years he served and then begged for that Mahaprasad at the end of 12 years. And Lakshmi Devi was so moved by his service that she gave him some. And it drove him mad. He finally got Mahaprasad from Mahavishnu. And so he was so happy and ecstatic about that he went to tell Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva said, what? You ate it all and you didn't give me any Mahaprasad? He was upset, but then Narada Muni said, oh, there was one little granule left. So Lord Shiva took that granule of Mahaprasad and he went dancing like a madman. He was going to destroy the universe. He was so ecstatic from getting some Mahaprasad of Lord Vishnu. Finally, he had to be calmed down by his wife, Parvati. And then Parvati asked him, my lord, why is it that you are dancing so ecstatically? And he said, because I got the Mahaprasad of Lord Vishnu. She said, what? You didn't give me any? And then he said to her, actually, you aren't qualified to get any. And that really got her going. He was really upset then. And so she made a vow that I'm going to see that all living entities in the universe can get Mahaprasad of the Lord. And because of that vow, her vow was so strong, Lord Narayan, he found out what was going on and he decided that yes, by the desire of Parvati, all living entities in the universe can get Mahaprasad. And so therefore, Mahaprasad was distributed to all living entities since that time. And so, from our side, we are ecstatic and happy when we can get Mahaprasad, and we understand that it's a spiritual activity. But from Krishna's side, how does he view that living entities want his Mahaprasad? What is his motivation? Well, that's also described particularly in relation to Lord Jagannath and Jagannath Puri. I'll read just a little bit of a letter that Prabhupada wrote in 1968. He said, the main thing is that whatever prasad is offered to the Lord, everything should be very respectfully and cleanly presented and prepared. In Jagannath Puri, the Lord eats 56 times. So the Lord can eat as many times as you can offer. But the only thing is that whatever is offered must be with respect and devotion. He is neither hungry nor poor, nor unable to eat, but he accepts everything And such eatables are within the group of vegetables, fruits, flowers, milk, water, etc., and are offered to him with love, devotion, and faith. He wants our love only, and that makes him hungry for eating as many times as you may offer. He wants our love only. If we give him our love, he'll accept it unlimitedly. But if we try to approach him in other ways, or to cheat him in other ways, then he certainly has the wherewithal to know that and not accept our offerings. So this is a spiritual activity, but a spiritual activity that's not a ritual, but a spiritual activity that's an opportunity to exchange love with the Supreme Lord. That's a special facility we have as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that we can actually develop a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord and exchange with him in various ways, prasadam being a very, very big part of that. Prasadam, Mahaprasada, is actually born out of the loving relationship between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. The devotee wants to prepare things, as Prabhupada has written in his letter, very carefully, purely, with a pure mind, a pure heart, a clean, pure atmosphere. In that atmosphere, one offers, prepares with love very carefully the prasad and offers it to the Lord in a loving manner. You'll see when the pujaris put together the plate that is very nicely decorated, and there may be different colors in the prasad, different designs, maybe a flower is there to enhance the beauty of the plate. Why? Why take so much trouble? You could just put it up, put the pot up there, you know? But no, it's done very carefully, tastefully, so that the Lord will be pleased to eat. He'll be pleased to eat. And he eats that love and devotion. So prasadam, Mahaprasadam, is a way not only that we cultivate our love for Krishna, but that he interacts with us to bless us. The example is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Now, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was an impersonalist. He was more interested in studying dry philosophy than in the intricacies of loving decorating the plates, the Lord's plate for the offering. But he had a change of heart by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he did, how was he reciprocated with by the Lord? Early in the morning, after his heart had changed, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya had just awoken when he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself calling him. Sarvabhaum? Sarvabhaum? And so he opened his door and found the Lord there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him something. What did he give him? He gave him Mahaprasada. He gave Mahaprasad. Sarvabhaum, at least in the Nilachari Mahaprabhu, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya got down on his knees to accept that Mahaprasad. And how do we get Mahaprasad, by the way? Just if I had some Mahaprasad, which I do, that I'm gonna give to you after we finish this, how am I gonna expect you to come up? There's a certain way that we all beg Mahaprasad. Yes, we all beg, please give me. We beg Mahaprasad, and we receive it. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was begging Mahaprasad from the Lord. He gave him that Mahaprasad as a way of reciprocating love with him. As a way of reciprocating love. So this is the secret that those boys revealed in the play there today. Gopinath. Gopinath, as we saw, he stole some Mahaprasadam for his devotee. He set it aside. The deity was interacting with his devotee. Krishna was interacting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interacting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What is the nature of that interaction? Giving prasad and receiving prasad. That's how the Lord reciprocates with us. Don't think it's anything different when you go and stand in that line out there in a few minutes. Giving prasad and taking prasad, receiving prasad. That's the reciprocation of the Lord. And so, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was receiving Mahaprasad from the Lord. Madhavendra Puri was receiving prasad from the Lord. And the thing that is amazing about Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was that he was a very strict brahmana. They had rituals, rites that he followed before taking prasad upon awakening, duties that he followed his whole life. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that Mahaprasadam, he immediately ate it without washing his mouth, without taking his bath, without doing his puja. He just took that prasad right away. Now, is that what a brahmana is supposed to do? Brahmanas, they don't live like that. They're very principled, regulated persons. So why would he take that prasad immediately, even without washing his mouth, and eat it? He did that because the loving exchange with the Lord was there. Love trumps everything in terms of spiritual interactions. And Mahaprasad is the way in which, the medium in which love is exchanged between the Lord and the devotee. You see, we've come a long way from piety and save me from my voracious senses, the tongue. We've come a long way from just that being the motivation for Mahaprasad. Now Mahaprasad is the medium in which we exchange love with the Supreme Lord. And there are many, many examples of this. I'll just give you a couple. Vidura. In the Mahabharata, it describes how Krishna, as the Shanti Dut, the peace messenger, came to Hastinapura, and he was invited by Duryodhana to his palace for a big feast. Duryodhana had everything at his disposal, the best ingredients, the best vegetables, everything. No holds barred. He could give anything and everything to the Supreme Lord, to Krishna. And he prepared such a feast and invited Krishna. But Krishna didn't go. He went uninvited, unannounced, to the house of Vidura. They didn't have anything ready. What were they going to do? So they got together some fruits, and Vidura's wife was so overcome that when she was feeding Krishna, she had a banana, and she was peeling the banana, throwing away the fruit, and giving the peel to Krishna. She was so blinded by love that she was doing that. But now, what was Krishna's reaction to that? He was eating the peel. He was eating the peel and he was relishing it like anything. How is that possible? What's going on here? An exchange of love is what's going on here. Actually, it's described in this little magazine I have here that Krishna described two things about eating, two principles of eating. The first of all, there are two principles of eating. First of all, the person must be hungry. A person who's hungry can eat anything, anywhere. He can steal food and eat. But if one is not hungry, that's the second principle. The second principle is that even though one may not be hungry, but if something is made with love and affection, then he must eat. Even if I'm not hungry, if something is offered to me with love and affection, then I must sit down and at least taste. These two principles of eating are given by Krishna. So Krishna was eating the banana peel because of love of his devotee. And that was preferred by him over anything that Duryodhana could prepare. So there's a similar story with Sobhari in the Ramayana. Sobhari was an aesthetic lady who waited generations. I don't want to say years, I want to say, give you an idea how long. Generations she waited for Ram to come just so that she could feed him some berries that she gathered from the forest. Now, some of those berries were sweet and some of them were sour. And she only wanted to give the sweet ones to Krishna. So how was she going to know which ones were sweet and which were sour? Right. So she was tasting them. She would taste each one. If it was sweet, she'd give it to Krishna. If it was sour, she'd throw it away. I mean, she'd give to Ram. Did Ram object? What? You're giving me, you know, your jutta? No. He relished that those berries that she was giving him because they were offered with love. So strong is this principle that love conquers all. Finally, Mukunda and Raghunandan. Mukunda, the father, told Raghunandan, the son, I have to go out today. I won't be here to do the offering. You do the offering. But I don't know how to do the offering. I'm just a kid. What am I going to do? Just do the offering. You put the plate there. You ask Krishna to take prasadam. It's okay. You do it. All right, Father, I'll do that. So the offering was made, was put on the altar, and Raghunandan asked, my Lord, please take. Nothing happened. My Lord, please take. You have to take. Otherwise, you know, how are you going to be nourished? You know, my father will be upset that I didn't care for you properly. So finally, okay, I'll take. So he took and he actually ate the prasad off the plates. So later, Mukunda came back. He was tired from his journey. He asked his wife, where is the prasad? Raghunandan says he ate it all. There's none. Yeah, yes, he ate it. He eats every day. No. He ate it. There's nothing left. Raghunandan, what are you? Did you eat this? No, he ate. So eventually, Raghunandan was able to convince and show his father that by his earnest call, Raghunandan's earnest call to Krishna to eat so that he wouldn't go hungry, that he was that he followed his father's instructions, the mystery of how he ate was revealed. And so, out of love, Raghunandan's love, simple love for the deity, he actually ate the food off the altar. There are many, many pastimes of loving exchange between the Lord and his devotees through the medium of Mahaprasadam. It's also a medium that all of us share. Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita gives six principles of loving exchanges amongst Vaishnavas. Two of them are giving prasadam, receiving prasadam. So we should not neglect the opportunity to do that amongst the Vaishnavas. Because when we do that amongst the Vaishnavas, we are in training to do that directly with the Supreme Lord Krishna, which is the perfection of taking Mahaprasadam. Of course, it never hurts when that prasadam also tastes very good. So we're fortunate here that we have some cooks that that cook with love and devotion, and Shri Radha Shyam take that prasad and then make it available for all of us. So does anybody have a favorite short instance where prasad is the medium of love between the Lord and his devotee? Yes? Oh, yeah, she's good. We're going to have her.
When I was a very new devotee, I happened to be in charge of the restaurant in Vrindavan. And there was this client who came by us and he said, "There is a fly in my plate, I'm not going to eat it." And the person in charge of the restaurant, she went to this man and said to him, "This is Mahaprasad from the holy dam. We could throw it on the floor and you will have to eat it anyway." So I was so stung by her reaction that it got me a complete different view of Mahaprasadam.
Thank you. Mahaprasadam ki. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay, sure.
To say this, like, I remember this one story from a book about a famous South Indian deity of Lord Vishnu named Alarnath, and back in that time Alarnath was a family deity, so that Alarnath was living with a family, and so there was this one young boy who was offering the prasadam to Alarnath, and because he had such devotion in his offering, the deity actually started coming to life and taking the prasadam and eating it, and it shocked the parents. Like, the parents were so shocked. Like, and this was going on and on and on, and they were almost starving. And then one time, the father came into the temple room to see his son offering it to the Lord, and then as soon as he saw Alarnath's hand going to the kheer, he the father grabbed Alarnath's hand and said, this cannot be happening. Like, a deity should be standing still, not coming to light to grab the offering, like that. And when the father grabbed Alarnath's hand, it left scars on that hand. And you could actually see them still. And
wow, we need to go there.
And so then Lord Alarnath was very pleased by the father's desire to feed the family. So then he said, "Okay, you shall have the remnants of the food that was offered to me as prasad."
Sadaratna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for the nice glorification of the prasadam. I have two examples to aid in there. One at the Tirupati, when the prasadam, Mahaprasadam, is taken out from the altar, it is put on the palanquin, and the two brahmanas, they carry it on the shoulders, and the priest, they chant Mahamantra, and kirtan goes on from the altar all the way up to the prasadam hall. So that's how the prasadam is brought from the altar to the prasadam hall.
With the Mahamantra?
Yes.
Okay.
And another one is, one time, Shripad Vallabhacharyaji Maharaj was visiting to Jagannath Puri, and it was Ekadashi day. And you know, in Jagannath Ji, there is no Ekadashi for Lord Jagannath. He still gets 56 times offerings there. So Pujari gave a Mahaprasad to Vallabhacharya Ji, and he accepted it right away, but it was Ekadashi. So he was in a dilemma, what I should do now. So what he decided, he kept the Mahaprasadam in his hands, sat down at one place, and started glorification of the Mahaprasadam all throughout the night until in the morning when it was the time of breaking the Ekadashi. And then he honored his Ekadashi break with that Mahaprasadam.
Good. Charuatma, so.
This is a bit more of a contemporary story. Today is the appearance day of Vishwambhar Goswami from the Radharaman Temple. And in the mid-80s, he was visiting New York City. And my wife and I were accommodating him, taking care of him. He was staying in the guest house. She was arranging his meals. And it was a codicil. And he was thinking, how am I going to eat in New York City on a codicil?
You have to hold the mic a little bit.
Much better. So, my wife arranged one of her very amazing and well-known Ekadasi meals, and we invited him over, and he was so, so happy, and he said to her, "You have saved me." So many, many times after that, he would speak about his time in New York, and he would say, "Yes, Pashupati has saved me on Ekadasi."
Speaking of which, Ekadasi is tomorrow, in case you didn't know. Yes. Please.
This is told to me by Chintamani, our god sister. She and Sudama were the first devotees to go to Japan. And you know, Prabhupada said, he was in the room with Sudama and he said, anyone who will go to Japan and open the Krishna Consciousness Temple there, I will personally come and take them back to Godhead. So Sudama immediately said, "I'll go." So then he went home and told his wife, Chintamani, "We're going to Japan." And they only had Jagannath deities about this big. And she was very devoted to Lord Jagannath. Anyone knows her. She is a Jagannath Bhakta, you know, supreme. So they're in this little tiny apartment, and the men went out for Harinam, and she's in the kitchen making the offering, and it's late, and she's really anxious, and she's getting it ready, and she hears a thud at the altar. And nobody's in the house except her. So she came out with the plate, and Lord Balaram had come down from the step, one step down, completely standing up, upright, just like looking for his offering. What's going on? I'm hungry. So that was incredible to me. She had some mystical stories about Lord Jagannath, but that was the one that really stuck with me, because They wanted their prasad, the Lord.
Okay, well, they're lining up outside. We're taking Mahaprasad. Everyone's welcome. Hare Krishna.